frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women won't born raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Almost like an explosion of steam. We're live. Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science at www.chazizradio.com. I can tell Ray's passionate about water. Basically, folks, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to www.chazizradio.com/superchat.html for some commercial-free radio, man. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, yeah, I posted a bunch of links over there in the video, or over there in the super chat room, having to do with water. Now, some of this technology has been around for Well, pretty much back during the Roman days and probably even before all that. Some of it has been around since the 1600s, the 1800s, the early 1900s. One of the things about water is that it's amazing, simple as that. You can separate water into hydrogen and oxygen, and you have not one but two fuel sources. Out of one fuel sources that, when combined, you can drink, you know, put your sugar and your all that stuff that's really good for you into your Kool-Aid and, you know, your soft drinks and stuff. So, anyway, but water's amazing. There's all kinds of stuff you can do with water. Now, one of the deals is back in the 1600s, I believe it was, the Trump. It basically took falling water and compressed air. Now, ironically enough, compressed air does some pretty amazing things when you think about it. There are...
Hey.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, compressed, man? I thought Trump was full of hot air.
Not Trump, Trump. T-R-O-M-P-E. All right, Trump, you're not going to get a elected as president either. All right, so basically a Trump is a water-powered gas compressor. Now, gas, oxygen, hydrogen, whatever... You know, gas is pretty amazing when it's compressed. If you release that compression rapidly into an atmosphere, you get a cooling effect. So, way back in the 1600s, before air conditioners were really air conditioners and stuff like that, they already had this all figured out. And some of the pneumatic engines that they run nowadays, they were using air pressure back in those days as well. The Trump... It's a very simple device. A vertical pipe or shaft goes down to a separate chamber, or pipe coming away from that chamber allows the water to exit at a lower level, and another pipe coming from the chamber allows the compressor to exit as needed. So as the water's rushing down, you get this really cool effect using the Venturi effect, where it actually sucks in a bunch of air from the atmosphere outside, and the water, it actually helps to compress the air molecules down smaller. What they call this is isothermic compression, which is pretty cool because that's what it does. It cools that water down. You know, normally compressed air gets hot. But as it's as the water's taking away the heat from the compression of the air, you get an isothermic compression of this air, which then in turn can be stored up in this chamber that can be vented out, and you can put it in air tanks and you can do a whole lot of stuff with. Basically, it's fresh air, fresh oxygen. It's pretty amazing how this system works. But they had this figured out way back in. 1600s, man. And so, you know, that's just one of many ways to use water. There's a, you know, we talked about compressed air before I move on. There's a couple of vehicles that were actually designed way back, one of which basically a compressed air car, you know, running off of a pneumatic engine. Doesn't have any exhaust. They use compressed air to run turbines, which actually produce electricity. So it's if you really want to scale this thing up, the implications are limitless. I mean, you could build the equivalence of a hydroelectric dam that was using compressed air to turn the oh man, my brain's just falling apart over here, guys. Have you seen how much power a pneumatic engine can put out? I mean, they use them in doggone shops all the time. You know, big torque wrenches that take off lug nuts and stuff like that. That takes a lot of power to pull a lug nut off like that, and that's just compressed air. And so, if you can basically rip a lug nut off of a car tire, off the wheel, not the nut, the bolt, the stud, whatever you want to call it, doggone it. That takes a lot of power. But along with water and compressed air, both of them, you get some cool effects. Like a positive displacement pump is what they use in hydraulics. That's where the fluid can come in one direction, but it can't go back to the opposite direction. You put a shaft up over the top of this fluid, and the more you crank it, the higher it goes up. That's hydraulics. Same thing can be done with compressed air. You can take a bag and put it underneath something really heavy, and then you can keep compressing the air until that bag will actually lift it up. So the two of these in conjunction are something that basically comes from a couple different forces of nature, one being water and one being air pressure, you know. So anyway, there's a couple other videos that I posted over there at the chat room, one of which is once you know some of these different anomalies that are occurring, you know, in science,
yeah,
you can do a lot of... Did you say, you guys say something?
Looking, trying to find those videos. I want to see this stuff from yesterday.
Oh, well, you got to scroll up, man. Previous 35, some of the chat room's blowing up in there.
I looked all the way back till September 23rd. I'm on the Super Chat channel, so I look on both sides.
All right. Well, they should be in there. I'm looking at them. Anyway... There's a couple different videos that I posted in there. One of the systems that they use in aquaponics is basically an automatic, what do they call them, bell siphon. You guys familiar with a bell siphon?
I know the term.
Well, essentially, it uses air pressure and water pressure. When the water gets up to a certain point, it raises this deal up and basically allows the water to self-siphon down to whatever preset level you make it.
But oh, okay, now I know what you're talking about.
If you ever seen one of these in action and that water pressure coming down, you could see how you could visualize turning turbines with that falling water. And so, what's all the big guff about all this water that I keep talking about? Water and water pressure and hydraulics, you know?
Water everywhere.
Yeah. See, in my journey to basically prove free electricity, you know, free energy, whatever you want to call it, I haven't tried to violate any of the known laws of physics. I just tried to figure out a simple method by which you could use those laws of physics in your behalf, for your benefit, as opposed to, you know, whatever, how the system does it. And so, out there, as far as resources available for the average Joe to try to be able to tap into some sort of energy that nature's already provided, you need something that pretty much universal. And you can't get much better than that than water, because water has all kinds of capabilities. You can cut stone with water. You can cut steel with water. Water and pressure, you can do amazing things with water and pressure. But we all need water to drink. We all need oxygen to breathe. Water has pretty much both of that. And so if you're talking about a fuel source and a life-sustaining source, then you really can't beat water. Anyway, a lot of the different technologies out there as far as alternative energy are super complicated for the average Joe. Just about everybody and his brother can understand water and how it flows and how to pressurize it. You know, stick your thumb over the garden hose and you raise the pressure up. Well, if you can understand water pressure, if you can understand how the water will flow, you know, more freely in a large pipe as opposed to a small pipe, then you can also understand electricity. And since we're wanting to get electricity to run our inefficient appliances, our lights, and all that kind of jazz, we need some sort of device. You know, let me pause for a second here and say, there's a lot of individuals out there who are literally waiting around for this magic box to appear, this little holy grail of free energy, this no moving parts, you love your reactor kind of deal, and next thing you know, you got all the free electricity you could ever use in your lifetime. Well, unfortunately, maybe in a future realm this may exist, but in our day and age, whenever it's expensive just to get certain parts, then you're talking a whole different story. You know, there really is no holy grail device to this point. You know, there's a lot of different ways to get energy. There's a lot of different ways to amplify energy. But there isn't really no what they would call zero point or over unity device that can be so easily replicated that every single average Joe out there could do this. And so, as I'm racking my brain and I'm going through all these different devices and I'm looking for ways around the laws of physics, I'm looking ways to pump water, compress air, mechanical ways of generating electricity, and so on and so forth, it dawned on me, we're not going to be able, as the average Joe, to be able to get completely off the grid as it stands.
And that's saying in the past 2 years.
And that's because the system, the way it's set up, the technologies are out there. They are available. If you can afford it, you can buy solar and go completely off the grid. You could buy hydroelectrics, wind power, and go completely off the grid.
Unless you live in an apartment complex.
Yeah, well,
People live in apartment complexes than live in private homes, and more people live in private homes with no backyard or almost no backyard than those that live out on a farm out in the country that could actually do this. It takes a tremendous amount of area to put up enough solar panels to get off the grid.
Yeah, so once again, then depending on where you live, depending on the regulations that your trusting government has bestowed upon you in a loving fashion, of course, you will probably have a hard time of trying to get completely off the power grid.
Well, that's so, showing up your kids and say you're committing child abuse.
Yeah. And so, when I was thinking about this whole deal, I know that there are a lot of things possible. I know that there are some things that mankind shouldn't even know about. And I'm sure that there's other people that had followed through the same kind of research that came across the same conclusion as I have, that there are certain technologies out there that maybe mankind shouldn't know about. At least the ones that are in charge of, you know, wars and all that kind of jazz. But for the average Joe, at this stage in the game, because you can't get the average Joe gathered together in masses to actually do some physical work to solve issues like this. The best that we can do at this point right now is try to learn how to use things more efficiently so that what we do have to pay to the man isn't extreme to the point where you can't afford your medicine because you had to pay for your light bill kind of thing. Now, I know that if we could actually get individuals together in a lab, we could literally build devices that would basically you plug in like you would your coffee pot. You use the power grid just long enough to spin up some devices that would produce 10 kilovolts or 12 kilovolts of electricity off of that first initial 110. And I'm not saying that you're getting out more than you're putting in, because you're not. getting out more than you're putting in. It's the way that you're using it, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Like a lot of power companies, they've got two or three different rates, and you're charged a certain rate from this time in the morning until this time during the day. You charge another rate later on, and you charge an even lower rate from, say, like 7:38 p.m. until 5:00 a.m. It's almost nil, almost nothing at all. So if you could use some kind of a apparatus to generate power and store it, and then use it during the high dollar moments.
Yeah, there's one spectacular way. See, you know, I want to explain something to folks. There's a deal out there called perpetual motion that is like the holy grail. If you can prove perpetual motion, then you can, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, prove free energy. Now, I fully believe perpetual motion is possible. I believe that somebody actually going to stumble on it, or has already in the past stumbled on perpetual motion and was able to prove it. But it
doesn't
wasn't
it already exist in outer space in our solar system?
Well, it's not going to be a device that didn't factor in all the laws of physics and use them to the advantage. For example, water will always find its level, no matter what. All right. And so, if you got two containers and you want to put you want to take the water from one and put it in the other, and you want to do this using gravity to pump the water. All right.
Right.
Well, when the weight of that water is pushing down on one pipe, it will, you know, force that pressure down, but then when it actually gets to the atmosphere level, it will stop. The atmospheric pressure will actually stop it right at the level. And so you're sitting there with the water at the exact same level, and you need some sort of force to kick that thing up over the top. Even if you just barely made it over the top just to get that water to recirculate itself, you could prove perpetual motion beyond a shadow of a doubt. The problem is trying to get that extra force just by the weight of the gravity and the water and the atmospheric pressure. Now, using just one, you know, system like that, then it's not physically possible. Because no matter which direction you go in, just like electricity or water, either way, the pressure and the energy input is always going to level itself out. If you got a pipe running off over in this direction, let's say you got 1,000 pipes running in every single different direction. When that gravity starts to flow down, every single one of those pipes, some of them may fluctuate just briefly as the water goes above the level, as the balance is coming back into play, but never enough to create a siphon to pull it back over the top of the hill and cause it to recirculate itself. Every single one of those 1,000 pipes will all find their same exact level.
So, man, you really have to struggle to force yourself to say it's not possible. You don't like those words, do you?
Well,
the thing is, you got, everybody that knows anything about physics knows you cannot get more out than you put in. And that's one thing that a lot of people know. You say you've had a lot of naysayers that give you a hard time. And the thing is, they're common people, not common in that they're dirty-minded or anything. They're ordinary people that they think you're trying to do it. And in reality, and we've said this 1,000 times on this show, we do not try to defy the laws of physics. In fact, we try very hard to stick within the laws of physics for the simple reason we realize that you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's what we want, the laws of physics. We want to work with them.
And so with that said,
and more efficient. That's all. More efficient.
And so with that said, what's the stuff?
Your question. All right, let me ask you a question here, okay? What is over unity if it's not taking a machine and making it more efficient? For example, back in the early, or late 1800s, a wheelbarrow, a pick, and a shovel, and they dug coal out of a coal mine, okay? Later on, somebody come up with the steam engine. Later on, somebody come up with gears and cables and made a steam shovel. Now all of a sudden you could burn 1 pound of coal and dig 20 tons of coal. Is that or is that not over unity?
Yeah, everything that you run with steam, you can run with compressed air as well.
Exactly. That's how you test the steam engine to see if you want to put steam in it.
All right, so here's where I'm trying to go with this, which may kind of sound a little bit like backpedaling a little bit, because I say you can't do this, but by itself, that one anomaly, you can't. You just can't. You can't get gravity to go higher than its own level as far as pushing water. All right? But to make this thing more efficiently, even if you had to use a small pump, all right?
Water pump.
A small water pump to help that circulate, all right? Well, you only have to use that small water pump briefly, so you don't have to use very much energy to keep the water pump going continuously, if you understand what I'm trying to say here, which makes that process more efficient. Now, if you learn things like in the hydroponic system where they got a bell siphon to where you can build a water level up to a certain extent and then you can dump this water level down, this water down all in one big solid gulp, and when you do that, it actually produces pressure that you could then utilize to put just a little bit of energy back into your battery system so that you can use this system more efficiently. So, whereas, you know, they wouldn't classify this as over unity or perpetual motion or free energy, because there's always a naysayer out there that's gonna pick apart everything under the sun. All right, well, there are other things out there like the Venturi effect, that where you can bring compressed air in there and you can use the compressed air to actually assist in the raising of that water up over the other end. And there are the ram pumps that you can actually use to force water to go above its level and stuff like that. And so basically what I'm saying is you could build a self-contained device that would recirculate this water. Now, you would have to have some sort of energy input, obviously, so it wouldn't be the device running itself. It would be a solar panel running this electric pump that's actually pushing this water up high enough. But once you get the water up high enough, you know, for the downforce, let's say you want some PSI, some air pressure, you know, you've got to go up many feet in order to get enough air pressure. You know, like your average garden hose is anywhere from 40 to 60 PSI. Now, if you could maintain 40 to 60 PSI coming out of a bucket, then you could turn a little turbine, which would turn a doggone pump that would circulate that water by itself. But because of the actual height of that bucket and as far as it is off the ground and the lack of fall or head pressure, you'll never get 60 PSI out of that.
You know, she says, a lot of people don't even know what a Venturi effect is, but there's a lot of people out there that do. Like, for example, body fender men that paint with cup paint guns, they operate on the Venturi effect. It's passing air across a nozzle, and it causes a suction and sucks the paint up out of the cup and sprays it into the air. Now, that Venturi effect, actually, years ago, they used to make a Venturi water pump for emergencies. People would use them in their homes when they lived in an area where their basements would get flooded with water.
Yeah, they call it a V-pump now.
Vacuum cleaner. You hook your vacuum cleaner in the blow mode on this Venturi pump, and it would actually drain the water out of your basement.
Well, see, then, you know, they got a basically a they call it a V pump. You can buy them on the internet about $23 off of eBay, and you hook it to a garden hose, and this thing will suck dirt, crud, and everything else with it. But you know, in the process, you use up a lot of water to pump a lot of water. But it's amazing that Venturi effect, how it actually works. But it is actually an effect that is actually pumping water.
They sell a Venturi pump that you put onto your handheld drill motor at Home Depot and Lowe's for emergency use to pump water from one place to another, and it uses water. to pump water.
Yeah.
Yes, and it uses the Venturi effect.
Anyway, I know that if you got the right people in the right lab at the right time with the right equipment and resources, you could literally build some really super efficient generating systems. You know, if you got a generator that would run off of hydrogen technology, hydrogen is just as good or even better than gasoline as far as pollutant-wise and the whole carbon, you know, hockahooey stuff, then you can't beat water for fuel. Alright? If you can get an internal combustion engine to run off of water as your primary source of fuel, then there's the holy grail of free energy right there. Alright? There's no ifs, ands, or buts, because you're not polluting and you can actually recycle the water from the exhaust back into your fuel source. Alright? But in order to get somebody together to actually engineer this properly to where all the waste energy, there is no waste energy, it's all being recycled, and that's all we're talking about, is recycling this energy over and over again. You know, you're not going to get out more than you put in. So I'm not looking for over unity. Now, I'm sure in some cases you're going to get out more pressure than you put in, but you're not going to get out more energy than you put in. Does that sound counterproductive there?
No, it sounds logical. You're not trying to defy the laws of physics. You're trying to use them against themselves.
Yeah, so, you know, when I talk about high voltage, when I talk about how I don't care about current watts and amps and all that kind of stuff, I'm not trying to make everybody mad, even though I do, and I start a lot of fights by saying it. All I'm talking about is using that pressure to basically pressurize containers for storage of energy so that it can be used at a later date. And you don't have to have a lot of current flow in order to pressurize a capacitor. You have to have high voltage to pressurize that capacitor, because voltage is pressure. Now, once you understand that, and then you know that you can take that pressurized container, it's like blowing up a balloon, you know? If you just got a limp balloon and you throw it in the air, it's going to fall down. It ain't going to do nothing. Fill that balloon up with air and let go of that thing, and that doggone thing will shoot around the sky until that pressure equalizes with the atmosphere outside. So there's a lot of power going on there, believe it or not, in one balloon.
Hey, you know, your Cracker Jack, little kids, popcorn, caramel-coated popcorn, Cracker Jacks. They used to put a little toy in there.
Yeah.
That fins on it, and it was real small, and you would blow up a balloon and fasten this to the end so it didn't let the air go. He controlled the air, and this thing would fly around for 2 or 3 minutes, man.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
Those are pretty doggone cool.
Yeah, you could bend the fins to make it spiral through the air, or do loop-de-loops. You can make it do all kinds of weird stuff. It was so neat, man.
All right, I put a video in there that you're just going to have to see for yourself. There's a guy that built a pump, and this is why I put this in there, because of this particular discussion that we're having about, once you know the I hate using the word physics, all right, but what they claim is the known laws of physics. Once you learn about physics, vacuums and positive displacement pumps and stuff like that, one guy took all of his knowledge, combined it in together, and built a hand crank pump that he could literally, man, this thing, I'm telling you, it must be 30, 40 feet in the air from a 50-gallon drum that he's pushing water at the rate like it looks like a fire hose going off. All right.
I think I saw that pump. I think
yeah.
I did.
Well, then he takes his pump, and to see how good the vacuum is on it and how good the pressure is on it, he puts it down into some gear lube. Of course, you know, gear lube is really thick. It's got a viscosity that's, you know, it's like molasses.
Yeah, I saw the same ad you did. I've seen the same videos.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so he pumps this thing and just pumps it from one container to the other as if it wasn't nothing but a thing, right? All right. Well, then to top that off, And I would never have believed it if I hadn't seen it with my own two eyes. This doggone, he took a bucket of grease, axle grease. Not even necessarily liquefied. You know how thick axle grease is, right?
Oh, yeah.
He put the pickup tube down inside there and spun this thing up with a drill and literally sucked axle grease through this pump. Now, that is some serious vacuum and some serious positive displacement going on there. Pumped it really right through the pump and right down over into the other bucket. Now, this is what I'm talking about, folks. You know, the Holy Grail, if you're waiting around to find the magic box that's going to run your entire house, you know, like the Keshi reactor, that if you love your reactor and you're friendly with it and you're not a jerk, you get free electricity.
Friendly
with it. Yeah. Too friendly.
Wouldn't you get in trouble for that? Isn't that against the law?
It probably is in several states. I don't know. You have to check the books in Arkansas. I don't know, man. All I'm saying is to take all these anomalies that you know already work, the laws of physics, basically, you know, like the Venturi effect. You know that whenever you force water through, the Venturi effect is basically as the water flushes through, it creates a vacuum which then sucks atmosphere outside into that water. So now you have water with air pressure mixed together. Now they use these in aquaponics systems in order to basically aerate the pool so that there's always fresh oxygen in there for the fish and stuff. And so, you know, that's one effect. But you could also, using the Tromp system, with that pressurized water, basically pressurize a couple containers, and now you not only have water flowing through the system, but you also have air pressure that you can turn around and use to feed back into the system to help assist that water in its flow if you're going to raise it up above its level. You see what I'm talking about? Did I lose you guys?
What?
Did I lose you?
No, we're here.
Oh, okay. Basically, there's a lot of different old-style ways that they used to move water. They used to cut mountains in half with doggone water, man, while they was out mining for gold. Have you seen some of the stuff that they did with water pressure? It was amazing.
Yeah. I've seen it. And so, pump mining?
Yep.
Move boulders that weigh 400 or 500 pounds.
And there's a lot of different gravity pumps out there, one of which I posted another video in the chat room about a gravity pump, which basically uses water to the weight of the water. Once this tube fills up, the weight of the water causes this thing to rock over, and as it's rocking over, that weight of that water pushes down on the piston, which basically starts to pump the water. All right, so we know the forces of nature that we have available to us. One of my favorite videos that I put in here was that a guy took a bicycle, a regular bicycle, and he put one of the back tires on the front tire with the sprocket. Essentially, it's like a mountain bike with you know, maybe 5 or 10 speeds on there or whatever. And he's got a chain running from one wheel to the other wheel, but he made a water wheel out of this thing. That the front wheel is sitting down in the stream, and he was able to use the actual existing sprockets to gear the front tire. When the front tire is spinning, it's on a smaller gear in the back, where the rear tire is spinning faster than the front tire. So he was able to use gear ratios in order to speed this thing up. And so there's multiple uses for this thing right here. When that water wheel's turning around, you could use the pedals as a, because the pedals were spinning around too, because that sprocket was still connected. You could use the pedals to actually start to pump like one of the old style bicycle pump, you know, rams that would pump water or air either way. You could use that high speed of that back wheel to put some magnets on there going across coils of wires and basically charging you know, batteries or whatever. And so, if you have access to a stream and some old junk bicycles, you can get electricity. If you don't have access to a stream, but you got access to a windy neighborhood, then you can use wind power to pretty much do the same doggone thing. If you're near a waterfall, you got it made, because now, depending on how high that waterfall is, you probably got enough head pressure to, you know, pump water, clean up the hill, or you make a hydroelectric dam. And if you know the difference between like a lot of flow in a large pipe, and then you force that massive flow down into a smaller pipe, you suddenly build the pressure up if you need something to go faster. I guess the easiest way that I'm trying to explain this to you is learn the mechanics of water and you will understand the mechanics of energy. It's as simple as that.
It is just as simple as it actually is.
And so, I'm sitting here, I'm racking my brain, I'm trying to figure out some way to create a free energy device that I can give to everybody and his brother when I already know energy's free. There's no... You couldn't convince me, alright? And you can give me all the flack about, well, you gotta buy this, and you gotta buy that, and you gotta do this, so it's not really free, and it's all mincing words. When in reality, if you worked in harmony with nature, nature has already provided more energy than we could use in a trillion lifetimes. Until this planet stops doing what this planet does, then you're always going to have energy. And if you haven't figured that out by now, you know, people want to be able to run their house like their house is running right now. And it may take a lot of money in order to put a device together to, you know, do just that. But I want you to think about this for a second. As crazy as I sound for saying all this stuff, you think back during the time when Tesla was in a battle with Edison for DC or AC current. They now have a hydroelectric dam that has been running since that time when they first built that dam, that has been generating power ever since, using nothing more than the flow of the water down the river. They tapped into nature and they've been making a killing off of it ever since. And there's no reason why you couldn't do that same process if you had access to that same kind of river.
Hey, wait a minute. Look, wait a minute, Shiz. They not only created a dam, but they created a huge lake behind it, which was a great resort for vacationers. So everybody benefits. They make cheap electricity with the water, and the public gets a great place to go party and have a vacation. Think about that.
Yep.
Win-win situation.
Well, that's why I was saying a show or two back that if you could get some networks built in your own community, start building your own power plants, you know.
You know,
it's an investment. You guys get together, you build your own power plants using whatever resources you have available in your area. If you live in the desert, you got thermoelectrics. If you live near a flood zone, you got hydroelectrics. If you live in Windy City, then you got wind power. And then get these things built by the people, for the people, and basically share the electricity, share the burden of the price when you start, and then, you know, share the benefits after, you know, you've used it for several years.
There's no such thing as free energy, has no idea what they're talking about. The energy is free. It's the machine you have to build to transform it into usable energy. The wind power blowing worldwide in one 24-hour period could produce enough electricity to supply the entire world with all the energy it needed electrically-wise for 10 years, every 24 hours. The sun striking the earth in 24 hours produces enough energy that converted into electricity would supply the entire world with all the electrical energy it possibly used for 50 years in one 24-hour period.
Well, there's a lot of devices out there. One that was mentioned in the chat room by Stephen Gibbons, he says, I think John Searle's device can be copied by the average Joe, and we need to give the man more attention. I can't remember. I can't read that one little deal there. As he has been waylaid by the Masonic group. You know, just like Stan Myers in the 70s, running around in a dune buggy, all these guys out here who even remotely got close to a free energy device, they've all come up against problems. Right? Either had sudden heart attacks or, you know, problems. And to try to get it on the market was an even bigger problem. And then to try to show the average Joe, especially via YouTube, then you got the troll and the disinformant problem.
Right.
Now see, if on one hand people out there are hollering about we gotta save the planet, then that ought to be at least one mark on the chalkboard in favor of an alternative energy device. And if the governments are truly wanting to be out there for your best interest and they know that we gotta save the planet, that ought to be another one right there. But there are so many reasons why we should be working on this full time and have the cooperation of everyone, but yet you have somebody in the background trying to do every single thing they can to discourage any free thinking away from producing these devices. Even if somebody gets it, the first thing somebody will come out there and say to you, well, you better hide, or you better not let them know you're doing this because they'll kill you and stuff, right? Well, that ought to be a red flag there. If you're going to get killed for trying to save the world by trying to show them how to use nature and harmony, then something ain't right. Maybe there wasn't a problem to begin with. Maybe the only reason why they even told you that was because they feared that if you get this right, then everybody else will use it and they won't have so much money in their pockets or so much power in their government. You see what I'm saying, man?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why these turkeys come out there foul-mouthing you all the time and talking stupid and telling you how dumb you are. You know, they quote the laws of physics as if they're the gospel. And we've been saying it multiple times. We've said it here on Shaziz Radio. We're not trying to defy the laws of physics, because when we prove free energy beyond a shadow of a doubt, we want to do it within the realms of their own physics so that they have to eat their own words, so foul-mouthing that they're talking about how stupid we are. You know, if you don't want Lenz's law to be invoked, then don't invoke Lenz's law, and you won't have that back EMF that slows your generator head down. Turn that energy into something else and then use it.
You know, the thing is, engineers and all say that one horsepower gasoline motor is equal to 743 watts.
Yeah.
So, how many gallons of gasoline do you have to burn to get one horsepower?
Well, according to the way that they got it set up now, it's like 25 miles to the gallon. It ain't very good because they're using it inefficiently.
And there you go. Now you're getting to my point. My point is that the BTUs, the energy measured in BTU in 1 gallon of gasoline, if used properly, would propel the modern day automobile at 55 miles per hour for 360 miles. And that is not bull hockey. That is pure known fact. Any engineer that studies gasoline and automobile engine will tell you, if the automobile engine was designed properly and burnt the fuel efficiently, it would propel that car 360 miles. But why are we only getting 20, 25 miles to the gallon?
Because they want to sell more fuel, man.
Yep.
You know, exactly. And this whole fuel crisis thing that they keep talking about all the time, there ain't no fuel crisis. Listen, folks, all the same chemicals that were on this earth when this earth was created are on this earth right now. And then according to their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. And every chemical that we've ever made on this planet nature has a way to break it back down into its natural state. So whenever you die, you turn into doggone part of the planet. You know, your body just gets recycled back into the deal. You didn't go nowhere. You know, everything that makes you is right here in the planet. Everything that makes fossil fuel is right in the planet. The same processes that were going on when the so-called fossil fuel was being created are going on this very day. You've got carbon-based biological life forms that are dying on a daily basis. They're getting recycled into the doggone planet. You got heat, you got pressure, you got everything necessary to literally build fossil fuels. You will never, ever, ever, ever see a day that fossil fuels or crude oil is non-existent on this planet. Until you take away the materials that fossil fuels made out of, you ain't getting rid of it. You stop pumping it, eventually it starts seeping out of the ground. Period. Now, they say we have an energy crisis. They say we have a fuel shortage. But yet there's tankers sitting off the shore with thousands and thousands, if not millions, of gallons of stuff waiting to be refined.
Billions and trillions. And I have seen this with my own eyes back in the late 50s. Full ships loaded. I mean, so full they were sitting deep in the water, four abreast, for as far as the human eye could see, in the Chesapeake Bay all the way out to the Atlantic Ocean, as far as you could see. You could not see the end of the ship. And yet there was a fuel shortage, and there were lines of cars, I mean, 2-3 abreast down the highway for 2-3 miles at service stations. Fuel shortage? Yeah, there was. There was a gasoline shortage because they just plain stopped making it. They just plain stopped making it. It was a man-made shortage.
Well, and that's how they make money, what? Supply and demand.
Exactly. Like, you think there's a shortage, so they jack price up.
Yeah. So, if you could get the average Joe to stop cussing each other out and work together and stop telling each other how stupid they are, then you could prove free energy and have it in every household out there. If you could get the doggone governments to stop being ridiculous and regulating everything out of existence and doing everything they can to keep industry rich and you working. Essentially, folks, you work for energy, you work for industry, because you go out there, you pay your electric bill, and you keep them alive and happy and fat. All right? You know, there were cars that were running on compressed air. There's still cars that run on compressed air. How many people actually know that there is a pneumatic engine out there that will run a car on compressed air? If you run it on steam, you could run it on air. Pressure. Alright?
Yeah.
The same thing could be said with high voltage. You could run it on high voltage because voltage is pressure.
Right.
All we're talking about doing is taking energy and moving it from one place to another. You take high voltage, pressurize a container, and you can use that pressurized energy that can be stored for, you know, later use. You know, I used to say all the time, an 800 microfarad capacitor fully charged will blow your thumb right off your hand. And that's a fact. Do not ever try to touch an 800 microfarad capacitor when it's fully charged. It will kill you. All right? I've welded a big notch in the side of my screwdriver discharging one of those. That is a lot of power. So, knowing these basics of science and the basics of mechanics and a little bit about knowledge about laws of physics, and sitting back and look at the big picture, and you can see that there is no reason whatsoever under the sun why we should be paying for electricity outside of keeping somebody in a job, outside of the convenience of having somebody else do the work for you. There's no reason. You got the sunlight half the day, you got the wind most of the day, you got water moving down the rivers. You know, if you're living 5 miles from a river. There should be a hydroelectric dam down there pushing energy your way. If you, you know, but so you know, you got to pay people to maintain it. There you go. That's where they're going to get me at. You got to pay somebody to maintain it. Maybe you don't have to pay somebody to maintain it if you take and use the mechanics of what you know is going to happen when that thing is running, such as if it's going to clog itself up at some point from crud coming down the river, then maybe you could put something at the other end of that river that would catch all the crud and move it out of the river before it ever even got to the pipe.
See, no work machine has ever been built by man that did not require maintenance. Without maintenance, anything built by man will disappear in 25 to 30 years.
Yep, if you ain't using it, you'll lose it. But even at that, that shouldn't cost you $400 or $500 a month for electricity. You see what I'm saying?
The Hoover Dam would cease to make electricity in less than 1 year without maintenance.
Somebody do some math for me.
It will destroy itself in 25 years.
Somebody do some math for me. If you got 320 million people in the United States alone, probably more than that by now, let's say you got 320 million people, and each one of them's paying, and we're going to be a conservative, we're going to only make them pay $100 a month for electricity. How much money is that?
$3.2 billion.
So $3.2 billion a month that the people are putting out there for electricity.
Right.
That's a lot of money, folks. And if guys like me are paying anywhere from $400 to $500 a month, that's gravy on their cake, man. All right, so gravy on our cake. That sounds disgusting. Icing on our cake.
Wait a minute. No, it's $32 billion.
$32 billion.
I missed the zero.
Well, that's even yet even more money.
Yes, it is.
Now imagine is that. Cake. Go ahead, Thomas.
I said gravy on their fruit cake.
Oh, now you're getting ready to start a war.
We're throwing you out of the bus again.
I'm telling you. If you don't like somebody, give them a fruitcake. Except Lex, if you like Raymond, he likes fruitcake for whatever strange reason. Alright, so basically what I'm saying is, imagine this. You get, let's say, a couple hundred, maybe even 1,000 people involved in a project. For 30 days, you guys shut off half your house and you don't run that house for 30 days. Alright, now keep in mind we said that everybody pays $100 a month for their light bill. That's what we just, being conservative, $100 a month for their light bill. Now, at the end of that first month, each one of these women only have to pay half that light bill because they only used half the power. So, how much is, let's say 1,000 people at 50 bucks a pop?
50,000 bucks.
All right, so you guys jointly saved $50,000 for 1 month. Now you tell me you could not build a generator for $50,000 that would supplement your power for next month?
Oh yeah.
So even if you only took 20 for
20, four other families, maybe 10.
So even if you only took 25% of your electric bill off for the next month, now you're only down to $25 a month that you're paying the man, because the next month goes around, you're going to do the same exact thing, and now you're going to have more than $50,000 savings.
Right.
So you see, for every guy that's paying $100 a month, now they're only paying $25 a month, so that's $75 times 1,000 people.
Well, you know, it's not only, what you're describing is not only the domino effect, but there's the multiple domino effect. It's where you start out one line falling, but it in turn causes two more lines to fall. Each of those two lines causes two more to fall. If you keep it up, then you have an exponential factor involved here. And it would be possible to get everybody off the grid, not off, necessarily off the grid, but down to a point where we're all getting paying a very, very small amount of electricity just to maintain the grid, because the electricity is being made for free, because yep. people are paying for it. But somebody's got to maintain this grid. Somebody's got to maintain those things. So instead of $100 a month or $200 a month, everybody's paying a flat fee, $10, $15 a month. That's all it would take.
Yep. And there you go, folks. You own your own system. And that's this is the way this is the way that you could do it. You know, if you want to keep paying the man, then it's easy to do. If you want to start off by building your first $50,000 generating device that'll take at least 4 of your 1,000 people off of the grid, you know, then, you know, you keep working until you've got all 1,000 of those people off the grid, and you've got your own generating systems that you the people own. You see what I'm trying to say here, Raymond?
Yes, I do. I see exactly what you're saying. The numbers work.
Yeah.
Numbers work, it is.
It just means...
people work together to pull those numbers out.
It just means that you're going to have to sacrifice half of your luxury for 30 days.
Exactly.
All right? And then the next month, you don't have to sacrifice more than that. What'd you say, Thomas?
I said, what? No internet?
Well, the internet don't take much electricity. We have to keep that one. We'll shut off the air conditioner and open the window.
You lost us.
Well, no, wait a minute. No, we don't have to shut off the air conditioner. What we have to do is build a pulsing turbine to take the heat from the air conditioner, turn it into electricity, and cause that to drop the air conditioning bill.
Well, there you go. And now that. Thanks to this show right here and digging up some information about isothermic compression, you can take and use water to compress air and use that for your AC. So essentially, yep. You've got a tower outside that is compressing air, isothermically compressing it, and then as it gets built up into the chamber, you just release the valve and through a condenser that's instantaneously going to turn that condenser freezing cold, just like when you pop the top on a CO2 can.
You know what I'm saying? About the air conditioning system, air conditioning basically does not make cold air. It only takes the heat out of there in your house and puts it outside. That heat can be very easily turned into electricity and fed back into your air conditioner, reducing your bill minimum 40%, if not 50 or 60.
Yeah.
So if we could just build this device and get everybody to buy it and put it on their air conditioner, then they would save that $100, $150 a month, and they wouldn't be putting it out of their pocket. They wouldn't have to sacrifice anything.
So essentially, there's
no comfort. They still have their air conditioning, still have their internet, and yet they've got that extra $100, $150 a month put into something else.
Yep. So essentially what we've been saying right here is that you've already got free energy. You just got to be willing to come together and, you know, put these devices together. Once they're in place, you know, all you got to do is maintain them. They could last for 20, 30 years before you'd ever have to put another penny into it.
Let's put it this way. You've got all this free energy. Let's learn how to use it wisely and more efficiently.
Yeah, that's the whole key. Now, if you had, let's say you don't have 1,000 people. You've got a small community of a couple hundred people. Imagine you build a system that will supplement their energy uses for 30 days. Now that couple hundred people doesn't have to pay near as much next month around. And that money's back into the community to go around and buy things from stores and help jobs and stuff like that. So you're having the community being self-contained right there just by, you know, not forcing people into this deal. That's not how you do it. California has that problem because they try to force everybody into doing things.
Right.
You get people of like-minded who are tired of paying their money out to the man and want to have a future investment in the community that they won't nearly have to work near as hard by putting these devices into play, then you got it made. It's as simple as that. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. In every single community, you have electricians, you have plumbers, you have welders, you have carpenters, you have people of all kinds of skill sets. And if you can get these folks, sit down and talk to them about, you know, hey, look, we can be self-sustained, but we don't have to do this via, you know, some sort of government regulations. We do it with our own knowledge, our own resources. We got a river that flows right by us at all times, and we could tap into that river and use that energy to, you know, at least put a little bit of power into our own personal grid that instead of, you know, like, you've got the main grid, the main power grid, which is what everybody's on right now. The community builds a secondary power grid, all right? Now, this secondary power grid goes to each one of the houses as well. And so the secondary power grid, instead of flipping on the red light switch, you flip on the green light switch, and that comes off the community's power, all right? Half the power you're using off of the main power grid, the other half you're using off of the community's power grid, and you're saving money right there.
Yes, you know what
I mean?
Yeah.
So it's now beyond the realms of possibility. You could build a power grid, and if the main grid ever went down, you'd still have your power. Hey, you know what would be funny? Let's say there is this conspiracy to give everybody a rash, and they decide, well, we'll fix everybody. We'll shut the power grid down. So they shut the power grid down, and look outside, and everybody's lights are still on. What's going on here?
Right.
We shut them down, and they're still on. Look, I know people think I'm crazy. That's all right. You know, I'm 50 years old, and, you know, I've done a lot in my life. I enjoyed my life. And
you think?
I think that if you listen to a little bit of common sense from a crazy old guy, and if you walk away from this saving a buck or two and don't give it to the man, then I've done my job. It's as simple as that. I know that over and over we've proven free energy. I know we have. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Exactly.
And I'm not gonna mince words or argue over terminology. Maybe you don't like the way I explained it to you. Well, I'm sorry about your luck, but that's the way I explained it to you, you know?
It's, you know, you keep saying people don't like giving their money to the man. You know, the thing is, what you're trying to describe is if you don't like giving your money to the man, become the man.
That's right.
Exactly.
Simple as that. You know, we sat here talking about how the government's corrupt. All right, well, produce your own government, you know? And nobody says you got to ask Uncle Sam for anything. Ask Uncle Bob or Billy or somebody else.
You don't want to be a slave? Save your money up and buy one.
It's as simple as that, man. And you got to do it while you got an opportunity to be free, because the more regulations get put out there, it might be like a federal law that you can't put a wind turbine up in your neighborhood.
There is a city law in Louisville, Texas, where I live.
I see.
You cannot use wind power by any means to generate electricity or physical energy that has practical use. And that's the wording.
So,
in other words, make electricity by letting your tower set out there, your TV antenna tower, and the wind's blowing across it, and it's making static electricity, so you ground it, it goes into the ground. So you're not making usable electricity, therefore it's legal. Now, you can set out wind chimes, and those wind chimes, they're also making noise. That's physical energy, mechanical energy, but it's not making electricity, and you can't use it. But now, if you built the one that made an actual tune, not just noise, then people would enjoy it. You couldn't have it because it's usable. People are enjoying the sound. It's calming their nerves.
Well,
no, the law was written so poorly, it's pathetic.
And there also might be regulations to say you can't use the local streams to generate power, you know. Maybe the EPA come in here and jump on your back for it, right?
Well, yeah, they got one too.
There ain't nothing stopping you from turning your own piece of property into, you know, the same type of system, you know. Sure. Maybe it looks different. Imagine a big grain elevator. All right, and in that big grain elevator, it has a water, basically a water barrel at the top of it. You got a lot of downward force gravity now. That when that thing's full of water, you could force that water down there to turn a turbine, pressurize air, do some cooling, and so on and so forth, so that you know, it's the grain elevator's been there all along. Nobody's complained about it. You see what I mean?
You know, grain elevators have lightning rods on top of them.
Yep.
With a big, heavy copper cable coming down the side, going to ground. Because, the lightning rod is not there to attract lightning. It's there to neutralize the ions in the atmosphere so you don't get a lightning bolt.
Yep.
Therefore, it is actually producing electricity and you're feeding it into the ground. Why not put it on something that could store it and be used?
You know, if you took that same lightning rod that was on top of a two- or three-story house and you made sure you disconnected it from the ground and you put some sort of spark gap in between that thing right there, do you know that you could pull power off of that?
Yes, you could.
Because the only reason why that air isn't ionizing is because that energy is being transferred straight to the ground, and so it's already connected, essentially.
All right.
You disconnect it at the bottom, and there's an insulator between that tower and the ground. You got free electricity coming right out of the air, man.
Yep.
Now, safety wise, you better do it somewhere where, you know, because the idea of the ground rod was to keep the lightning from, you know, basically striking, from hitting your house. And if it did, it went straight to the ground. That's a lot of power.
That's a lot of power.
So if you got a storage place that will hold that much power, you could literally capture a lightning bolt, man. That lightning bolt's thousands of volts of electricity, and thousands of volts of electricity means tons and tons of pressure. And so you have to have a container that can absorb that impact.
The company I own called Boomtown Power and Light, where we actually generate electricity and put it in the grid.
Yeah.
What you just said is going right along with our motto. And our motto is more power to the people.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're talking about on this show today. Trying to explain to people how the energy is free. You just need to figure out ways to convert it. I mean, static electricity is usable. And that's what you get in your buildup on the metal tower and so forth, and your lightning rods. You get static electricity. When it goes to a certain point, it jumps a gap, and you've got lightning.
Do you think we can clone Thomas and his brain?
I hope so. I'm taking him home with me for 2 or 3 weeks.
Folks,
and I'm studying like a little bug, you know, see if I can get inside his head.
Folks, in your neighborhood, I hope you guys got a guy like Thomas, because he's brilliant. He knows a lot about a lot of different subjects and chemistry and materials and stuff like that. And so when you get down to building your actual devices that's going to generate the power in your neighborhoods, he can tell you which ones would be the best dielectrics for, you know, maybe capacitors or whatever, you know, and the best materials. See, there's somebody in your community who's probably researched a lot of stuff, and so if you can get all these folks to the table and you tell them what you're up to, look, we're going to build us a community power company, and it's going to be owned by us. We're all going to pay the price for the machinery and all that, everything that we do. But once we own this, then you don't have near the power to pay for. You see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to. I'm showing folks the door is there. The tools, the technology.
Oh.
What?
Facetious again.
Did you just say get out?
Yeah. You said the door was there. I said get out.
Oh yeah. And you gotta have comedy relief in your networks too, so. But either way, what I'm saying is if you don't want to keep paying the man, then it's simple as that. You start networking with people. Unless you have access to a lot of money where you can have things done and stuff like that, then chances are you're not going to get off the grid the way you want to get off the grid. But if you pull together, you know, if I buy a 40-watt solar panel or 45-watt solar panel, whatever, and my neighbor buys one and their neighbor buys one and so on and so forth, now everybody's got one 40-watt or 45-watt solar panel sitting in their yard. Now, one of them by themselves ain't going to do much. But if you networked all these solar panels in together, you could charge every doggone battery in the neighborhood with everybody's solar panel. So for every person that throws a solar panel on there, there's more energy that you can use off of that power bank. You could have an old warehouse building in the middle of your township to where you're funneling that energy into the grid, which is in turn charging that battery when you need power off of that deal it's already connected up. You see what I'm saying? It's that easy.
You throwing people under the bus?
I'm not trying.
You don't have to.
So, basically, if people really want to get things situated to where you got extra money in your community, you're working in harmony with nature, it's just a matter of getting up doing it. We've showed you all the anomalies that we've found so far, all the different basic science and physics and stuff like that. You know, Venturi, you know, you can push water and then and bring in atmosphere at the same exact time. There's a water hammer effect. There's a cavitation to spin water up and heat it. And it just goes on and on. There's so many different ways. If you want the water hot, you could spin it really fast, or you could boil it with some sort of fuel source. Sunlight, the compost heap that Muddy was talking about, putting a hose under a compost heap and when material rot. Huh?
When it breaks down, when the stuff is breaking down, it generates heat.
Yeah.
Heat water, it's in the hose.
So, how many people mow their lawn in the neighborhood? You guys could have in the center of town a composter that everybody brings their grass clippings up there and puts that on top of it. It's like adding to the battery bank. You know? If we wanted to do it, we could do it. You know? Myself, I'm still paying the man. I'm still paying the power grid. When I go off the power grid, I'm going to do it in style. Mark my words, it'll be on the news. And I'm sitting here, I'm telling everybody about free energy, right? And I'm trying to explain to people, don't sit around and wait for some holy grail magic box that's going to produce free energy. Don't wait for some reactor that you got to love if you're a jerk and you don't get no free electricity because it won't work. And don't buy any free energy device from anybody unless you know 150,000% beyond a shadow of doubt that you see it. It was tested. They allowed you to measure it. They showed you this thing really works. And in which case, if you find something like that, you tell me, I'll buy a bunch of them. All right, but in the meantime, I'm going to use every single bit of knowledge that I've acquired on this journey in search of free energy in order to supplement my electric bill to the extent where now I don't pay near as much as I did to the man. And by the time it gets down to where it's only pennies in the bucket that man's getting out of me, and you all are doing the same, then I would have kept my word to the power company, because I told the power company in no uncertain terms, I'm going to study every single thing that there is to know about alternative energy. When I get that accomplished, I'm going to share it with each and every one of your customers for free. And so when your wallet gets thin, you're going to have me to blame for it. So as long as I can sit out here and preach to the people about, you know, hey, you use LEDs instead of tungsten elements, you'll save money. Put a solar panel on that light so that it ain't on the grid, you'll save money. As long as I keep doing that, as I'm doing that, their penny bucket's getting smaller and smaller. Maybe not to the noticeable extent to this point, but when it comes down to it and everybody and his brother is taking some advice from a crazy old mad science guy, then I tell you what, they'll notice that wallet getting thinner.
You'd put an H on that.
Yeah.
It's got to be hot.
What?
Hot. So, what?
So, I'm saying, if you guys want to do this, we can do it. I know about plasma technology. I know there's things that, there's things out there that you wouldn't believe. I'm telling you. There's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye. There's a lot of technology out there that exists, that has existed for some time, that people in the know about. There are some technologies that should not be in the know, you know, that people, like for instance, Einstein believed he opened a can of worms with his energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. And he regretted it because now we had the atomic bomb. And the atomic bomb, technology used properly, you know, could have been amazing as far as the amount of energy that is released during that kind of, what, nuclear fission? Is that the right terminology?
Yeah.
All right, so even now, we got basically nuclear power plants out there that use old 1800s and prior technology with modern-day radioactive technology. And we're boiling water. We're not doing anything fancier than boiling water. The high-tech comes in the refining of the uranium into highly refined radioactive rods.
Enriching is what the word you're looking for.
Yeah,
there.
Enriching. While they enrich the uranium, they're also enriching their pocket. So.
Yeah, because they put out contracts and get subsidies to build those nuclear reactors, and then they run them and generate all kinds of money off the power they generate, and then whenever they're about to basically start costing more than they produce to run them, they go ahead and drop it off on the government, and the government's got to deal with it.
Yep.
And you either got two choices at that point: keep it running, or continuously have to deal with what to do with all the waste that came off.
But have you ever noticed that it's always the doggone taxpayer who absorbs the burden, you know? You're already paying for technology that the government is supplementing, but yet you're still having to pay for the electricity. So not only do they get you for usage taxes and taxes in general, but they get you for the doggone electricity that's coming down the pipeline.
Yep.
Folks, once that machine is built, that energy is going to continue for many, many years before it even has to change the rods in the doggone thing. You know, and even when those rods are taken out of it and classified as depleted, they're still radioactive. So they put them in a pool for 10 years to cool them down yet even more. Now, supposedly they sent a probe completely way out there to Pluto with a thermoelectric generator with one little ball of plutonium in there that was heating up thermoelectrics that produced over 245 watts to start. It went through space, took 9 years to get there. 9 years later, it's still producing 200 watts of electricity off of this one system, enough to power all the equipment, take pictures of Pluto, send that those pictures back for you to see. That's what they said they did. Now, whether they did or didn't, whether you're a conspiracy theory or not, a theorist or not, the fact remains. If what they said is true, then you got free energy right there. If you put a battery in your doggone radio and it lasts 9 years, that's a pretty impressive battery if you're using it on a continuous basis. So, you know, even
back from the space.
Yeah. vacuum of space. Deep
apart by particles from space and whatnot.
Yep. And they say it's not possible. At first they say it's not possible out of one side of their mouth, and then they say that it is possible out the other side of their mouth by what they said they just did.
I'm wondering what thermoelectric device they were using to generate power off of that heat transfer, and how it was being affected by the radioactive particle, the neutrons coming off that radioactive waste or whatever it was they were using to generate that heat.
Yeah.
Anything that's radioactive to that degree is basically ionizing. And for those who don't know, ionizing essentially just means that basically it takes the bond between two atoms where they're normally configured together in one way and breaks that bond and leaves enough energy that bond can reoccur in some other random way. So it basically will degrade something because we already know that the universe supports entropy.
Well, not only that, if space is as cold as they say and a vacuum and has radiation going on, some of that radiation out there could be used for part of the thermal process. And as far as superconductivity, if you put something in a vacuum and have it super cold, then it could conduct energy even better. And so they would have taken all the known laws of physics, their understanding of what space and energy is out there, and they would have made something that could travel through millions of miles of space, through micrometeorites, through radiation, and who knows what else, in an extreme vacuum with extreme temperatures from hot to cold, and they 9 years later shows up, takes a picture, and sends it all the way back to us. Now, you tell me that ain't impressive? Now, if that technology is available for them to do that, then you've been being had all these years, because the same technology that so-called wasted fuel rods, the spent fuel rods that are still radioactive that have to be in a pool for 10 years to cool down, those could produce thermoelectrics that could turn around and run the same type of generator. And since they've been running these for a long time, they got lots of radioactive waste that they store, you know. And you could use that energy. So, once again, now if it has a half-life of 25,000 years, or even if it only has a half-life of 100 years, that's more than your average lifespan. Tell me that ain't free energy. That's why I call it mad science, folks, because it frustrates me.
Because you're getting mad?
Yeah. It gets me riled up because... Don't tell me nothing's possible. Don't tell me we can't do this. You know, I understand the laws of physics as we understand them can't be beat. But we ain't even trying to beat them. We're not. Everything that I've talked about to this point has not even attempted to defy the laws of physics. I'm not sitting here talking about how you can put a 9-volt battery to run your house in infinite energy being reused and looped and re-looped and so on and so forth. All I'm saying is that if you use it more efficiently, according to their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, so where in the heck's it going? And if you could get it back when you lose it, then why couldn't you reuse it? So maybe that 9-volt battery, in theory, could run your entire house if used properly. There's a lot of pressure in a 9-volt battery. What if you could keep it infinitely charged up? So, you know, hey, until you try it, you can't deny it, man. That's all I can say. We're looking for free energy, and we've been floating in it.
What they say, not being able to see the forest for the trees.
Yep. You know, we even talked about in the prior show that when you burn a tree, you burn the firewood, that the firewood produces fuel. If the firewood didn't produce fuel, then you wouldn't have these things that you put in there to get the creosote out of your doggone chimney before your chimney plugged up and blew up or caught fire. You're burning firewood, turns it into ash, turns it into gas, turns it into creosote, which sticks to the side of your doggone stovepipe like glue. And if you ain't out there cleaning it up, then it builds up one wrong deal and it gets too hot and you'll have a flaming cannon in your backyard. Now, somebody want to tell me where there is no three energy in that? What in the heck are you guys tearing off some tape or what? And it's live. That's what Gorilla Tape does. Put some of that Gorilla Tape on your hairy leg and rip it off. You'll know free energy.
Save some money. Yeah. Going to get a wax job or whatever.
Yeah, save some money on razors. Just put Gorilla Tape on your hairy leg and rip it off. That's the way you get your mustache off your lip. Hopefully your lip's not stuck to the tape when you're done. Anyway, so
shenanigans.
Yeah. So you burn firewood, you get ash out of the firewood, you get creosote out of the firewood. The creosote will burn your house down if you ain't taking care of it. And the ash can be turned into lye soap and other stuff like fertilizer. And so you just made two or three products out of one doggone action of burning firewood. Man, doggone it, if I have to say it one more time, I'm going to go ballistic. Energy is free, period. The Earth is a thermal electric generator of epic proportions. It's a self...
Hey, the only reason the energy from that firewood is free is because that tree doesn't complain when you cut it down.
Well, yeah. And the tree come over there and whoop you with the ugly stick.
But the thing is, though, a lot of people don't get it, but if you ask them, how do you heat your house? Oh, we use firewood. Oh, so you're using solar power. No, we use firewood. We burn wood. We cut down a tree, make logs, and burn wood. Yeah, but that's made by solar power. How do you think that tree grows?
Yep.
So technically, it's just stored solar energy. The wind blowing, stored solar energy.
The Earth is a thermal, electric, self-sustained biosphere of epic proportions. What you do not use, the Earth will take back, period. And it doesn't matter what you turn it into. You know, if you take some material out of the ground and you make it aluminum and eventually oxidizes and all that kind of stuff, eventually that will revert back to its natural state again. And it's still there. You never lost it. You didn't lose the plastic. You didn't lose the fossil fuel. You didn't lose nothing. It all, every bit of atoms, electrons that were here when you started are still here now. Am I wrong?
You know. Do I need to be contrary and say yes?
Yeah, be contrary and say yes, because
that's wrong.
That's why mad science is what mad science is, man, to get the contrary out.
It's all wrong. Everything's wrong.
So everybody's talking about polluting the environment. All right, let me tell you something right here. Take the most toxic crud you can possibly find and put it out there and just flush it down the toilet, flush it down the river, kill off all your fish, wipe out your food chain. Mankind drops off like a bad case of fleas, and there ain't no man no more. 500 years after man's gone, this planet will look like you weren't even here.
Wait a minute. They've already done research on that. They had a big miniseries on television. Life Without Man. They proved that in 125 years you could not find anything to even show that man was ever here.
That's right. If they didn't build the pyramids out of the natural material that was in their area that was water resistant to his best ability, it would be gone too. If you had a water running across the top of the pyramid, you'd go out there and see a couple of slabs laying there like, whoa, I wonder what these were.
Really?
But what I'm trying to say to you, is that if we destroyed this planet ecologically, biologically, and the evolutionist guys are right, then by the time it's all said and done, you'll have a human standing on here trashing it again. All right?
Right.
So you ain't going to tear this planet up. You can pollute your own fishbowl. And if there ain't nothing cleaning that fishbowl out, the fish is going to go belly up, and then you're going to stand over the commode whenever you flush the handle and take your hat off for a moment of silence as your Freddy the fish goes down the little swirly thing.
You know, this so-called global warming and pollution destroying mankind, that's just man's arrogance, just yep. Pure arrogance to think that we could even do that.
Well, you know what? Nature...
We can destroy the ecological system to where it would destroy most of mankind, but it would never destroy all of it. And like you said, they'd come right back and do it all over again because the idiots will not study history.
Yeah, it's all the same doggone chemistry. Everything has been here since this whole planet was put together. All right, and it's brilliant because, like I said, it's a self-contained biosphere, and it has more energy than you could use in a trillion, trillion lifetimes. You could kill yourself off a billion times, and if evolution isn't all right, you'll keep coming back and keep people keep on repeating the same stupidity they did before.
Because they won't study history.
Yep.
And he who does not study history is doomed to repeat it.
That's a fact, Jack. You know? And so, you guys and gals out there, if you notice anything about history so far repeating itself, and you're concerned about the future of humanity, it's not the planet that's in jeopardy. It's never been the planet. It's been the people. Mankind...
About repeats. All we got to do is listen. We'll hear you repeat yourself over and over.
Yeah. And it's obnoxious. It's obnoxious. I don't like repeating myself.
You like it?
No, I don't.
I don't believe that. I was there with you, remember?
I don't even like the sound of my own voice.
You did it too many times. You love it.
Well, I think that you do it,
you do it subconsciously because you want to prove to people that just because you're old doesn't mean you're slow. Because I'm going to tell you something, I never saw a 50-year-old man move that fast so many times in my life.
Just because I'm ugly don't mean I'm stupid.
No, it don't mean you're slow either. At that time I got zapped with 600 volts, burnt that hole in my arm.
Yeah.
I would prove that I wasn't any slow either.
I'm telling you, for every action's an equal and opposite reaction. You got 600 volts coming at you, you're going to move quickly, whether you like it or not.
Exactly. But that was fun, wasn't it?
Yep.
we had a blast. You gotta go up to work and do it one time.
So
we take what, 2, 3, 4 weeks? I don't care.
So in my quest for proving free energy.
Take 1 or 2 weeks. You get it next quarter or you step over from the point and do it.
You guys
get you.
Hey. You guys remember we're live?
Yeah. All right. We're discussing our vacation plans at your house.
All right. That's cool.
We're discussing how much food we're going to eat you out of house and home on.
That's fine. I got plenty of food around here. All right. Look. During the apocalypse, just everybody show up at Chaziz's house. It'll be the one with the lights on. All right. Now, we got that resolved. Okay. I set off on a quest to show the power company what's what. And basically I sat there and I told everybody that I was in search for free energy and I was going to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And everybody out there pretty much waiting around for the holy grail of free energy devices, when in reality the holy grail of free energy devices is what you stand on every single day.
What?
There's more energy out there than you ever use in a trillion, 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 trillion lifetimes. Until this planet stops doing what this planet does, then you got free energy. Now the question is, how are you going to tap into that free energy? You know that you can pull energy out of the air. There's actually a mathematical equation which has to do with their own personal laws of physics that tells you that you can pull electricity right out of the air. We know that energy travels in waves, whether it be through any medium such as water or air or anything. Energy travels in waves. Energy can be manipulated, it can be stored, it can be changed. And so with that said, you're standing on a buffet of 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt proven free energy. Period. And I don't care who wants to twist terminology and try to say that this ain't possible and that ain't possible because of this or whatever. If you don't want to invoke Lenz's law, then don't invoke Lenz's law. Don't send the electrons back into the same generator you're trying to pull the energy off of. Turn that energy into something completely different. And then turn it back in whenever you need it on the opposite side and something that's not going to affect the initial generation of that power. We use an alternator in our cars. A lot of the older style cars used a generator. Didn't matter how the energy got there. The energy was stored in that battery so that you could restart the car whenever you shut it off. You could get the enough force to turn the motor over to get that initial compression and fire to ignite the fuel inside the piston and cause it to start to run on itself. And then when it started running on itself with the fuel, then that generator would generate more energy than that battery was needed to charge that battery up. So they had to invent this thing called a voltage regulator that when it got to a certain point, it would literally turn the generator and the alternator off so that you wouldn't be overcharging your battery. Otherwise, if you didn't have a voltage regulator on your car, you'd be tooling down the road. It would generate so much power that it would literally explode your battery and start a wire fire, sending you down the freeway in a ball of flames.
Woo!
If you took the radiator off of your car and you took the voltage regulator off of your car and you took vents out of your car and you started flying down the road, you would get this nifty effect called overunity, to where your motor would get so incredibly hot it would literally seize itself, and anything that was vented that should have been vented that isn't vented would overpressurize and explode. Your wiring would catch fire from too much electricity and your battery would explode. And once the air pressure in your tire was instantaneously released by the tire fire that ensued from the initial fire from that vehicle, it would literally explode a massive wave of acoustic pressure that could be heard for miles around. And if you have wheels made out of magnesium, when the fire department get there, they're not even going to try to put those magnesium wheels out because they can't. They have to let them burn themselves out because that magnesium will burn through concrete. All they can do is try to cool it down and keep it from spreading. Now, tell me that isn't overused.
You're getting a little far-fetched, but you're dead on the nose anyway.
I'm just saying, if Murphy's Law kicked in and the worst of the worst of the worst of every single possibility having to do with that motor vehicle was to happen, And not to mention the impact, because once your brake lines basically got super hot and melted out the seals or compressed it to bust that seal, you don't even have brakes. So the initial impact of whenever that car finally comes to rest and stops because you can't push your foot on the brake anymore.
You know, what you're actually saying in a lot of words, is you could say, is the modern day automobile is very, very inefficiently designed.
Sure it is.
If it was designed efficient, you would need the radiator to cool the water, which cools the engine. You would use the heat to propel the engine.
That's right. If you was running a Stirling engine and you was relying on how much heat you needed, you wouldn't even have to run that gasoline engine very long. Just run it long enough to get it up to 180, 200 degrees, enough to run the Stirling engine, and then shut the gas portion down. And while you're moving down the road, if the temperature starts to lower down and you start losing forward momentum, then your wheels basically dump the clutch and your gasoline engine will fire right back up without even requiring any electrical starting to turn it on. So, that's what I'm saying. Learning how to use everything more efficiently means it's properly engineered so that you're not squirting a liquid inside your doggone cylinders. You're putting a fine mist of microscopic gas molecules inside there that as soon as you hit a match on them things, they're going to blow up.
Yep.
You get more power out of gas than you do a liquid.
Oh, heck yeah.
That's in their own science.
It will actually burn. Only the fumes will pop out.
And you don't even have to go, you don't even have, once you get this machine up and running, you can shut the gasoline off completely and start running off of steam. Because once you get that engine up to temperature, you start injecting water in that cylinder, and what did you say, 1,600 times its own volume?
Yep.
Expansion? You tell me that ain't enough to push down a piston?
That's 3.7 times more powerful than gasoline.
And the harder and the faster and the hotter that engine gets, the faster that doggone action's going to happen. As soon as water hits the side of that cylinder, it's going to instantaneously flash the steam. And eventually, at some point, you'll have a separation of hydrogen and oxygen and then a little ignition going inside there to ignite that. Now you got an implosion on top of your explosion. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. You'll push that piston down a couple times more.
Yeah, you push it down and suck it back up.
Yep. So there you go, man. We can do it if you want.
What's that, dance?
We can do that too. We can do the happy dance to show everybody that we done showed everybody that what I said all along.
So you're saying we can dance if we want to.
Yeah, and we can leave this world behind.
Or we can watch the wall.
If you can't dance or you don't dance, then you're no friend of mine.
The ones that don't believe it can be done, they're the wallflowers. We're out there dancing.
Stephen said, if electricity follows the path of least resistance to go to ground, can someone explain how all these deer got hit over such a large area? Things that make you go, hmm. I missed the punchline.
I think they forgot to mention that that somebody put the deer crossing sign in the wrong spot.
Well, that's, see, you know, that's why...
They put it wrong spot. Too many deer kept getting hit.
That's why there's no cure for stupid. That one lady on the radio said that she hit 3 deer at the same sign.
Really?
Yeah. She said, why did they put them doggone signs there for the deer to cross? As if the deer are looking for the sign so that they know where it's safe to cross.
Was it Jeff Foxworthy said, here's your sign?
Anyway, water is amazing. And if there was ever any proof of free energy, then water would be the one, man.
I've said it several times, and I haven't heard anybody argue with me yet. Water is the most singularly powerful element on this earth, other than sunlight.
Well, if the earth is over three quarters covered in water, I would say there's more energy on this planet than you could ever even possibly imagine to use. The thing about when you separate hydrogen and oxygen and you get that implosion, or with the oxygen by itself, an explosion, and all that energy is released, then suddenly, since according to their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, so that means at the other end, you get water for exhaust. Alright?
Yep.
And everybody's sitting there like, oh, well, you know, it took too much amperage to do the electrolysis process to separate the hydrogen and oxygen, and I'm telling them, well, then don't use electrolysis, stupid. There's guys out there using radio waves to separate the hydrogen and oxygen. Your magnetron and your doggone microwave uses microwaves to create friction, which in turn creates heat in the dipole molecule, such as water, and rocks it back and forth and heats your food. Now imagine if you took and boosted that up, beefed it up, sped it up to a point where you're literally shaking across the molecule, shaking it apart.
You know, suggest pressure and temperature does affect the flow of electricity. And a lot of pressure, like in water pressure, would slow the electricity down, but so minimal, it would be almost non-measurable. Now, why couldn't you do your electrolysis of hydrogen and oxygen, or separating water, at 100 feet below the surface, and those bubbles, being gas, have buoyancy, catch them in a cup, like a conveyor cup, and generate power, electricity, without burning the hydrogen and oxygen? Then when it gets to the surface, then you burn it in your car. Think about that.
There's so many different ways to do it, man. There's so many different physics out there. Pressurization and depressurization, vacuums and such. Man, I'm telling you,
My point is, with the hydrogen and oxygen, everybody keeps saying, well, if you use electrolysis to separate water, then when you burn it, you won't get back as much energy as you got it. Well, wait a minute. What am I saying? I'm saying making electricity with it before you burn it.
Yeah.
Then how much energy are you getting back?
That's right. When the water molecules recombine, they have fuel cells out there that will pick up the charge that is released when an oxygen and a hydrogen atoms recombine.
And if you make your engine out of all stainless steel, food grade, the water that comes out of your exhaust is drinkable once you cool it down.
That's right. Here we are in the year 2016. We have every bit of technology necessary to build the perfect generating systems, the perfect self-contained electrical grid, the perfect working in harmony, no pollution, no BS, no loving your reactor, which I'd love it if the doggone thing, you know, got built. I mean, I'd be over there hugging and kissing on it all the time because finally, I can stop talking about free electricity. Take that, man.
Then somebody would sue you for being a pervert.
I wouldn't doubt it. Sorry, some sort of negative realm. But all I'm saying is that, you know, we got everything we need. It's a matter of whether or not the seriousness of the situation, such as, okay, global warming, climate change, climate disruption, or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. All right?
How arrogant can man be to think he is causing global warming? That is the most arrogant thing I've ever heard of in my life. Man may be contributing a small amount, a small percentage to it, but he has really and truly nothing to do with it. It's going to happen whether man's here or not. It is a natural phenomenon that happens.
You know what really irony is this? The Earth because of the Big Bang and because of whatever happened to create the Earth in itself, all
right?
The Earth was a chaotic accident of epic proportions where just the right chemicals came to the right place at the right time to literally create a planet of people that has a set of rules, order out of chaos rules, the laws of physics. So this accidentally came about without no help of any kind of outside creation, nobody who created the aliens, nobody who created nothing. It just accidentally happened to fall into place to where everything is working and has laws that cannot be defied. But it was an accident. That's pretty doggone amazing. That's irony, man. It's ironic.
You know what the proof is that we evolved from a lower life form like monkeys? If we started out as human
Hillary
beings,
Clinton?
We had never invented the wheel, because the people there that were supposed to invent the wheel would have been arguing about what color it was until they all starved to death.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like when Obama sent that delegation to meet with the automobile engineers. And they started giving them, the automobile engineers, their demands for the newer vehicle that would get X number of miles to the gallon. It would reduce pollution by this, that, and other. And this. And when they got through with all of their rules that they wanted these engineers to work on, the head engineer stood up, and it was a lady that was in charge of the delegation, and said, "Ma'am, what you're asking us is to defy the laws of physics, and we can't do that." And she jumped up real fast and blurted out, "We're the government. We'll just change the law."
Yep.
Hey, that's a real story, friends.
Look.
That's a joke.
Jermaine asked, have I tried to build the magnifying transmitter? I've built several versions of that. Essentially, once you understand how energy travels in waves, it's like tapping your finger on a pool of water. You tap the water, the wave goes out. If you stop, everything will balance itself back out. Now, if you tap twice on the water, a wave will go out, and then another wave will go out, and then so on. The faster you tap that water, you keep on tapping that water, those waves bumping into the next wave, and then bumping into the next wave, and bumping so on until eventually the entire mass is starting to go over the top of the pool.
Right.
And so, to build a magnifying transmitter is as simple as timing when your waves are going out, because the magnetic field's going to want to collapse in on itself. Once you send it out and you let go, it's going to collapse in on itself. Otherwise, we would have done had free energy back when we started, because you could just turn it on and let it just expand forever, and then hit it once or twice to put a boost to it. But by sitting there tapping on it, you know, in time, you can send a wave out, which will bump the next wave out further, and so on down the line. Every wave coming in behind the wave that's trying to collapse is getting bumped out further. That's how they was able to get radios to transmit as far as they have been.
And isn't that basically the same idea behind Jacob's ladder?
Yeah, pretty much. So, basically, we know how to pressurize water. We know how to overpressurize it. We know how to cause it to come flying up out of that pool. And it's all using the same basic concepts, you know? The basic laws of physics, the basic laws of science that all came out of a chaotic big explosion billions and trillions of years ago. All right, so I guess maybe that's why my hair is jacked up, guys. Because I see it. But if you want to amplify something, if you want to pressurize it, then you understand how, by pushing a large volume into a small hole, then you get pressurization because the large volume has mass behind it, such as water. Let's say you got a gallon of water. The gallon of water weighs over 8 pounds a gallon, and it's moving at 5 miles an hour down this pipe, and then slams into the wall, and the only exit is a little tiny hole. That's not going to stop that mass from trying to get through that tiny hole. It's going to force some of that water down through that hole and pressurize it, and now you basically have done the same exact thing that you're doing with electricity when you're sending that energy down a thick wire, and then you ram it through a thin wire. You're going to ramp that voltage up. Now, where you gain in voltage, you lose in your current flow.
Your volume.
Yeah, it's a give and take. And so once you understand that, unless you build your generator to literally ramp it up with so many RPMs that you're literally shooting fire out of the end of the wire, which can be done. I've seen it done with the direct drive washing machine motors. I gotta take a breath, man. Got any thoughts, Raymond?
He said you got thoughts.
No.
He said no.
Oh.
Okay. I got a bomb.
Yep, yeah, there's two more listeners. Anyway. So it's there, man. It's been there when everybody I know at least got a couple people interested, the three or four people now interested. Let's build it, you know. If we took the time to build just get any gasoline engine out there, any internal combustion engine, and took the time to study all the losses that are created by that internal combustion engine, and then find uses for every bit of those losses, a way to take and vacuum the heat off the motor. I mean, literally suck that heat right off that motor. Imagine if your engine was in a vacuum and you was able to suck the heat right off of it without affecting your air intake or anything like that. You had it situated where you still had air from the outside, but you could take and suck that heat right off that vacuum and put that heat wherever you wanted it. Where would you go with it?
I go into a cold steam turbine and start running the vehicle electrically.
There you go.
So therefore, you wouldn't burn the gasoline in the motor. You just simply burn the gasoline to heat the vegetable oil to supply your heat to your cold steam turbine.
The reason why a tungsten element doesn't burn up is because it's inside of a vacuum. It can withstand the heat.
Okay, now, if you fill the car the way I just said, you're running down the highway, you run out of gasoline, all of a sudden your credit card's no good, and you run out of money. What do? You go side of grass, over the side of the road, and start picking up dried grass and twigs, and fills your fire, you run your vehicle. Big deal. Electric.
Yep. So, I don't know what else to say, man. I just don't know.
Hello.
Every bit of knowledge necessary.
Hold on a minute.
You can do exactly what it is that the Save the Planet people and the government people keep talking about is right there on the table.
Okay.
Which one do you want?
Hold on, I'll pause you guys for a second and finish what I was saying.
But
alright, I got them on mute for a second. Every single bit of what we need to do exactly what they say that we need to do is on the table. To build the perfect self-contained, working in harmony with nature, non-polluting generating system is on the table. Now the question is, how many of you out there listening to this radio show will come to that table and help to prepare this device for the world? We got all the knowledge. We got every single thing necessary to build exactly what they said they've been asking for. And if the average Joe, such as myself, or Thomas, or Raymond, if they figured out all this stuff that we're talking about right now, then you know there's millions of, not billions of people out there who figured out the same. That means that if all the average Joes out there know that something's possible, then the government knows that things are possible as well. And the corporations and the power companies know that things are possible as well. If they're going to tell you that the world is coming to an end because of global warming / climate change / climate disruption, radioactive waste, pollution, and all that kind of stuff, and then overlook Thomas, and overlook Raymond, and overlook Jermaine, and Stephen Gibbons, and all the other folks in the chat room, Justin, and overlook all the alternative energy researchers out here that, who are on the up and up, then at the very least is a reason to question their integrity of whether or not any of this is a problem, ever has been a problem, or is ever going to be addressed due to greed and power alone. So Thomas and Raymond, you still there? No?
No. No. Big fat no.
Big fat no, they're not here. We've sat around and talked about alternative energy and alternative materials and all this forever and a day. And at some point, you guys come down for a vacation and we'll talk about some more stuff and actually get some things accomplished and that kind of stuff. So in our little circle, we're getting things done. I'd like to expand that circle somehow and get more people to the table and show people by example that this is what we've been talking about all along. When I talk about plasma technology, I'm talking about basically the equivalence of a light bulb that is producing heat energy using high voltage. And it doesn't take a lot of current to produce high voltage. It takes a high frequency. It's really super simple to get high voltage. Once you understand about pressurization and how electricity functions, how water functions, we can build high voltage generators all day long that will not run a normal electric motor because the frequency is too high, the voltage is too high, and if anything, the voltage would melt right through the insulation of that motor and destroy it. But we could also take that high voltage that would normally destroy any generator or electric motor that you're trying to use it with and turn it into heat, turn it into light. And all of those energies, even heat, even light, as crazy as it sounds, even light has pressure. And so we take that pressure and we get work done with it. It's as simple as that. It's not that we don't have all the free energy we can use. It's that we're just not using the energy that we have presently properly. Any thoughts, guys?
Music break.
Okay. Well, we'll throw a long talk. I can't even talk anymore. My mouth and my brain.
I tried spending energy from one place to another. Glue some gears on it.
All right. Yeah, that's a good one there. All right, folks. My brain's tired. We're going to go to a music break. And I'm trying to find I need coffee, so I'm gonna throw a cup of Brown Joy on there. And what tarnation are you banging on? Do-do-do-do-do-do, Dr. Steel, just glue some gears on it. All right, so, folks, you're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned. If you like the madness, send the podcast around to everybody. We're going to take a quick music break and then come back and polish off some more Mad Science. Peace and love. Stay tuned.
As I read the Gazette to catch up on the news, some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoy the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers had just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears. It's simply not crickets, it shouldn't be done, but it's clear how their thoughts had run. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy. Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up unregretting. Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is slow for the worst. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Love a cup. I would. Oh, gorgeous. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup of the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn, made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug, or fine china, been hooked up to IVs, need constant supplies. And a trip for my urges might verge on perverted, perverted brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain. I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The dip between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please. Earl Grey,
yes please.
Earl Grey,
yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely. Assam,
lovely.
Assam,
lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh.
Oh, God,
what an opera.
Yeah.
I've been around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swig amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal. Let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal,
no thanks.
Herbal,
no thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. I want to see that spoon stand up.
If you're
more tired of tea than you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter, it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger. Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your sodding coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Buttons pop me loving tea, botsy and poncy rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot, sodding off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer on 80 cups a day. I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, lovely though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma.
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Aw, crap.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. Hydrodynamics, hydraulics, hydrogen technology. You know, in my quest to find free energy, the best fuel source, in my opinion, that we have available to us is water. Essentially, there's not a whole lot that you can't do with water. If you have a positive displacement pump and the right materials, you could literally produce a hydraulic lift with water. You could, instead of having hydraulic fluid inside of your heavy machinery, you could use water pressure with a positive displacement pump to do exactly the same thing. The difference is that if you're making certain pieces of machinery out of metal, water and metal, they don't mix. And so you get some water oxidization on the metal, eventually will destroy the system. But if you designed the same system out of materials that wouldn't oxidize from the water, then they wouldn't rust and they wouldn't tear themselves apart. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that if you used all the bits of energy and all the bits of knowledge that we've learned so far, you could make a plastic hydraulic pump. I mean, you could literally raise a lot of weight using certain types of plastic. Glass-filled nylons or something like that for the outer structure, and a smooth Teflon on the inside for lubrication. You can make nylon bearings. You know, the same stuff they make cutting boards out of. There's all kinds of potential materials available out there to literally build devices that can lift lots of stuff. And so this is all I'm talking about. It's taking those pieces of the puzzle, putting them together, using things that we already know exist to get work done. And isn't that what it's all about? You know, is to get work done. And in the process, being able to use some of that work getting done for comfort, for heating, for cooling, medical devices or whatever. We're standing here in the year 2016 arguing over who wants to be the next millionaire or who wants to be the president or whatever, while all these people out there are protesting and acting all kinds of crazy. Save the planet, save the trees. You got a wooden stick, a paper sign, and you're saying save the trees. The guy with common sense is standing back there asking you why it is that you want to save the trees, but you got a wooden stick and a paper sign to do it. If common sense would rule today, we wouldn't have all these issues. There is no energy crisis. There is no fuel crisis. There is no man-made global warming / climate change / climate disruption and whatever it's going to be called next week whenever the math don't add up. You can fudge the numbers all you want, but nature's still going to kick your butt if you get out of line, period. Flat out. If you don't build the dam, the hydroelectric dam, strong enough to withstand the pressure that nature has, once it's at its normal level, everything's cool. But what happens when you have a flash flood and now you've got 10 times the pressure of what would be there? So you build in systems that are backup for a backup for a backup so that you could have 10 times as much water there and that dam would still hold up. That's how these dams have been up there that long. Do they have their flaws in them? Yeah, because somebody overlooked something simple. And now they got to repair this and repair that at certain times, otherwise they're going to have an issue. You guys still there?
No.
No. They're not back yet. They'll let me know when they get back. But either way, if you look ahead at the future, you decide where you want to go with it, you want to clean the planet up, work in harmony with the other, with nature and all that. All you got to do is gather up these guys like Thomas and Raymond, and myself and Jermaine and Steven and all the people in the chat room, Justin and more. Gather them up, take their expertise and their knowledge, and actually do something that a lot of people don't do anymore. Listen. Just shut up and listen, because you don't know it all. If you did, you'd be God, and you're not. So, Anon5931 said, "What is plasma?" Well, it's really a good question. When you got one of those nifty plasma globes, they call it plasma ball, or plasma globe or whatever. There's plasma cutters out there. Where the actual name of plasma came from, I have no idea. I know there's blood plasma. But for the explanation of what I'm talking about is because of the plasma globe and the basically turning a gas into the fourth state of matter. So if you energize any of the noble gases into the fourth state of matter, that's where they say plasma exists. That's it. That's the plasma realm. It's no longer a gas anymore. It's something just completely different. One of the cool things about it is it generates heat. It generates light. And so you just transferred electricity into a completely different form of electricity known as the fourth state of matter. And so futuristic technology will use a lot of plasma technology. Being able to transfer energy from one to the next, basically imagine a plasma laser. You think that's possible, Thomas? No.
I don't know. I mean, I'm working on something I can't really talk about that might be, I guess, considered like that. So,
well, if you turn around and you was able to take around, let's just say, let's say I take my my plasma ball, my plasma globe, or whatever you want to call it, the neat little thing with the fireworks inside there. And let's say I can energize that gas into a bright white light. I mean, it's so brilliant you can't even look at it unless you got welding goggles on. That's how bright this sucker is. I've energized it so much that that container is so pressurized it just blows that thing apart.
What you're talking about, isn't that in nature called ball lightning?
Yeah.
A friend of mine that was in the Navy, Air Force part of the Navy, and he used to fly cargo planes without pressurized cabins.
Yeah.
And they'd be flying in storms. And he said more than five times he had seen ball lightning come through the airplane and go right through it.
Well,
some of them as big as a baseball, some of them as big as a basketball. But it's ball lightning. It is not a sprint of lightning.
I got a video out there, and essentially you can see what ball lightning looks like.
So in other words, if you could make ball lightning and direct it, then you could have what you were talking about.
Yep. So pay real close attention, if you are actually paying any attention to my videos out there, pay real close attention to the anomalies, look past the absurd, and open your mind to new possibilities and ask yourself the question, is it possible? That's the whole thing. When you're told,
if you think it is,
when you're told that something isn't possible, and you believe it, then that's it. That you have already built your belief, and you will never look anywhere past it because you were told it's not possible. They told the Wright brothers, flying isn't possible. If God meant us to fly, He'd give us wings. All right, maybe man wasn't meant to fly.
Wait a minute, I got an answer to that. It did. It's called a Boeing 747.
Well,
he gave us a mind to figure it out.
That's the point. Maybe man wasn't meant to fly, but maybe man was meant to fly. Maybe man was meant to do a whole lot more than what we're doing.
You know, one of the old sayings about man and flying was that a heavier-than-air object could not fly. But yet birds fly around. Those same people that made that stupid statement, birds were flying around pooping on their head all day long.
Yeah, look about bumblebees. They're not aerodynamic, but they sure do well.
The only problem with bumblebees, nobody figured out how to speak bumblebees, tell them you can't fly.
Yeah.
Shut down.
Mathematically,
down forever.
And mathematically and aerodynamically, according to all scientists, bumblebees cannot fly. They just haven't figured out how to tell them yet.
Well, that to me shows you that if you got clues like that in nature that shows you that things are possible and then you're sitting there denying them, you're either willingly ignorant or just ignorant. Because
or stupid.
Yeah, or stupid.
Ignorance can be fixed, should they? Stupid can't.
Yeah, stupid can't be cured. If we can find a cure for stupid, we'd have it made.
Yes, we would.
Now, all I'm trying to been trying to point out to everybody is I can't look at nature and see the magnificence of what's going on around us without believing in free energy. Can't do it because I see it all the time. I was riding down the river in a canoe and got the worst doggone sunburn in the history of time, and I was damn near on fire. Alright, when I got to the other side, I was miserable. The river carried me downstream. I didn't have no choice unless I wanted to use some force to try to row back upstream. The sun baked me like a piece of bacon, and I didn't pay for none of that. I did pay for the boat ride to rent the boat. But the energy...
You know, there's some while ago about water not running uphill.
Yeah.
Well, in Africa, they have a waterfall that's called the upside-down waterfall because when the water comes over the top of the cliff and starts falling down, the wind blows it back up, so the plants underneath never see water. It's called upside-down waterfall. Duh, it's an outside force acting on it, the wind, but at the same time, the wind is causing the water to run uphill. You ever seen a hard pouring rain with the wind blowing in a certain direction, and as the water hits the ground, it blows up a hill? Yeah. I have, many times.
And that's why nature don't play.
Two things that man says cannot be done, but it does it every day. Bumblebees fly. Give me a break.
A big chunk of rock falls off the side of a hill, slams down in the ocean, produces enough force to produce a massive wave that goes flying clear across the other side of the planet and wipes out a bunch of doggone houses and people in the process.
Exactly.
You want to tell me nature ain't got no power? Man, try to get you a saddle and a rope, and the next time you see a tornado, throw that puppy on there, saddle up, and go for a ride.
You know, they
see if you can hold on to 300 miles an hour.
In the past 10, 15 years, they've had more than 3 volcanoes explode with more energy, more power than all the bombs and bullets and landmines and mortars that ever went off in World War II.
Well, imagine if you took and tapped into that energy. See, the volcano's going to erupt when the pressure gets too high. So nature's already venting itself because it has to.
And you're not going to stop from doing it.
Yeah, but if you tapped into that energy, man, you use the thermal vents down there to take away some of that heat. It might be a little bit longer before that volcano finds it necessary to vent. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
You're dispersing
some of the heat,
and using it where you want.
Exactly. Man hasn't even begun to tap in to not even 0.1% of the energy that is released and free on this earth.
Yeah.
Not even 0.1%. We have not tapped into it. And yet it's there. They know it's there, and they don't tap into it. Why?
Because they want the money, and they want the power. They want you to believe that they are necessary.
Right.
And if if everybody out there was self-contained and didn't need the government, there wouldn't be no jobs for the government officials. If everybody out there could agree not to harm each other and not to do terrible things to each other, whatever, then you wouldn't even have no need for the law enforcement.
Exactly.
But because of greed and stupidity and corruption or whatever goes on out there, now you have put yourself in a prison to be protected from the prisoners that you live with. Does that sound like common sense?
Not to me.
I mean, I don't go out and kill people because, number one, I believe it's wrong. And I don't want people killing me or my family because they're mad. So I treat people decent. So hopefully they'll treat me the same. You know, that's kind of do unto others as you'd have them do unto you kind of concept. Now, if everybody out there believed in the same thing, I think there'd be less people hurting each other and shooting each other. And if you understood that there was a possible, or at least a perceived possibility that the world was being polluted and is in danger and losing all the species of the earth, then you would want to nip it in the bud, and in which case you'd want to listen to guys and gals out there who, like especially during the BP oil spill, had natural remedies to solve issues out there. And you'd want to pay attention because, folks, there is not one man on this planet who knows it all. But there are many, many, many people out here who know a little bit about a lot of things, and some people that know a lot about a lot of even more things, and some people that are skilled in certain things that you don't have a clue about, and you put all those things together, you got a Swiss watch that can work in perfect harmony with the nature that surrounds it. This is what I've been saying all along, man. I've been called everything under the sun. I've been insulted to the extreme. I have been so mad because some turkey come out there and talked to me like I was a doggone idiot and had absolutely nothing to back up what they were saying. Had no kind of videos on their channels or anything like that. Wasn't doing anything productive. And here I am out here talking about common sense. And for my efforts to try to bring this to the table for people to have all these ideas, they decided to foul mouth me. They decided to disrespect a man they never even knew.
You can't fix stupid.
Yeah.
Didn't we just say you cannot fix stupid?
Yeah.
Any that have no idea what they're talking about, that downs you for what you say, and it downs you in such a manner that it's more than obvious they have no idea what the hell they're talking about. Dude, my friend. I mean, they've got to be stupid. They're no longer ignorant to me. They're stupid, and stupid cannot be fixed.
Yep.
Those people you just plain ignore altogether. Yep. I don't even let them upset me.
And that's why I'm trying to gather the like minds, the brilliant minds around the world, and let all the stupid people do what stupid people do. Shield each other from the ignorance that comes around when every time you try to tell somebody about something like that. Think about penicillin. How penicillin's actually made. You know? Guy had a piece of moldy cheese or whatever, and then it turns out to be one of the beneficial deals. Well, if you told the wrong people at the wrong time, they'd be like, well, you're stupid. You can't use that for medicine. That stuff will kill you. Well, anything in the wrong quantity is going to kill you. You drink too much water, you're going to drown.
Yeah, you eat too much chocolate, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Chocolate is deadly poison to the human digestive system.
And if you eat too much fruitcake, you're going to be in real jeopardy.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yeah.
I don't eat too much. I just eat a half pound a day.
Stephen posted in there, geothermal energy in Iceland happened by accident in 1907. A farmer in West Iceland took steam from a hot spring that ran below his farm through a concrete pipe and into his house several meters above. A few years later, another farmer became the first Icelander to use hot spring water for heating, and extensive distribution of the hot water to heat homes began in the Capitol in 1930. See that?
Yeah, the thing is, they call that an accident. I don't call it an accident. I call it the fact that you've got some people that think.
Yeah, I call it brilliant.
They were thinking. They were using their head. You use natural resources. That's what they were doing. It's there. Why not use it?
Yeah, the hot springs have been there before you got there. They'll be there long after you're gone. And if all you got to do is circulate that water to every house in the community, you know, yep, then you heat everybody's house and you use less electricity. How right. is that not environmentally sound? Plus, check this out. While you're running that hot water to heat water through there, you got to have a place for that water to end up. Put it in a reservoir, pump it up into towers, and now you got water for your house. You see, folks, it ain't that you can't, it's that they won't. And when
there you go, that's a secret. It's not that they can't, it's that they won't.
So that's what
those catchphrases. Mm-hmm. So I can't do that. You can't or you won't.
Exactly.
The other one is if we want to shut it down, somebody starts not going on, you go, this conversation is over.
Yeah. So
that's what you need to learn, she says. When somebody starts downing you, that phrase right there, this conversation is over. Because you're talking something stupid, and if you are, you're wasting your time.
Check this out, man. Imagine a community where before anyone built their house or their basement, you ran pipe all the way through this house underneath the concrete, all right? And you made it out of like flexible PEX or, you know, PVC even, you know, any kind of plastic tubing that's never going to rust, all right? And somewhere centralized in this town where you have your generating system, you also have a water-cooled system that's cooling down this generator that's circulating that water all the way through underneath everybody's house. Heat rises. And so at the very least, your feet are going to be warm in the wintertime when you walk across that floor. You just took what would have been waste energy off of that generator, circulated it to everybody's household, and then able to even use that same heat as it's going through there to, you know, heat the water up for a warm shower. It's a no-brainer, man.
Hey, when are we going to stop talking about this nonsense?
Start doing something about it.
And instead of broadcasting an audio and having a podcast, let's go start broadcasting a video cast where we're actually doing something about it.
What?
Then they can naysay all they want, but, you know, at the end of the show, you got more than words to show for it, you know?
That's why Thomas and I are getting together right now. We're going to combine our knowledge and skills, and we're going to solve a couple of these problems, and we're going to make videos of it.
Well, help me gather the troops. Let's build us a dome, self-contained from start to finish, from ground to ceiling, self-contained biosphere that you can grow food in, distill your water, and all the stuff, living comfort, and still...
How big a dome do you want to build?
Huh? I'll build it as big as I can possibly build it.
I said we do it, then.
Well, I got the land if anybody's interested. Bring your pipes, bring your tools, and let's just build it. Let's get it done.
I got the solar panels to power it.
And you know what? Speaking of those, before we got to get up out of here, because we are getting close to the end of the show... Raymond, those two solar panels that you brought over here to me have literally been sitting on the ground since you brought them over to me. They're still producing electricity. They've been snowed on. They've been rained on. They've been walked on by the cat, been stepped on by the people. They've been run over by lawnmowers, and they still are producing electricity after all this time. Now, I did that video called Free Thinkers. I did a series of it. I still need to do one more to that series. But what I'm trying to get across to people, and I'm hoping that a lot of people figured it out so far. I put a bunch of junk out there, and if you go look at the date on the very first video, I put a bunch of junk out there that was capturing energy from all different directions. Sunlight, radio waves, static electricity, negative ion generations, basically the Windsurf style static generator, wind turbines, did I mention solar power, heat transfer, earth battery, and two busted up solar panels that had been rolled up like a carpet that were brought in from Texas have sat there, and they've kept that thing running since that first day that that video started. That thing has had some sort of power to it. The light's still on.
Yep.
Now, if I can do that with junk, imagine what we could do with something better.
Right.
I'm not as stupid as I look, people.
Not as stupid as you look? Is that what you're going to say?
That's it. Not as stupid as I look.
I think the other phrase is I didn't just fall off the banana boat.
Yeah. I invented the banana boat. I ate all the bananas for the potassium.
I did come to Texas on the turnip truck.
Yep.
But it wasn't yesterday. And I was born in the morning, but not this morning.
Well, you can get electricity out of water.
Yep.
You can get pressure out of water. You can get work done with water. You can get fire out of water. You can separate hydrogen and oxygen. You can breathe the oxygen. You can burn the hydrogen for fuel. Or you can burn the hydrogen and oxygen together.
You can use the hydrogen and oxygen to make electricity without burning it before you burn it.
You can also use the hydrogen and oxygen expansion to basically create pressure to pump your water uphill.
Yep, you can that.
You can produce steam that can run a steam engine. Doggone it, folks. You drink gallons and gallons of the best fuel in the history of time. Stan Myers tried to tell you. Raymond's tried to tell you. I've tried to tell you. Many people try to tell you. You can use it for hydraulic pressure to lift your house, for Pete's sake. Take that hydraulic pressure out from underneath your house and let the dirt dry out and watch your house crack in half.
That will happen in Texas. Trust me.
Water is a good thing, ain't it?
Yes, tell me. You know, sometimes we have a drought down in Texas, in North Texas where I live, and the ground will be cracking and this, that, and other. We use a number 12 gauge wire, 12 feet long, to tie our ceilings up, our suspended acoustic ceilings. I have taken a piece of this wire, put it in one of those cracks, and just shake it back and forth so it'll work its own way down in that crack.
Yeah.
All the way till I'm holding the very tip of it. In other words, that crack was 12 feet deep. Everybody be quiet and turn it loose and listen. And that sucker would fall another 6 or 7 feet before you could hear it hit the bottom.
Well, you know what happens when water is frozen?
Yeah, it expands 10%.
Yeah, and that expansion is enough pressure to literally crack stone in half.
Oh, Lord, yes. Yeah.
Why do you think there's all those cracks in the concrete? Because when the water gets down in the smaller portions of the deal and freezes and expands and contracts, it cracks. And then the bigger the crack gets and the more water gets down in there and the more freezing occurs, the wider the crack gets. So crack kills.
Smart ass.
Yep.
Crack kills.
All right, so we got to go, folks. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. If you believe in what we're talking about, please support our channel by showing up in doggone YouTube or the channel, the chat room, superchat.html. Jump on Facebook, throw a comment out there, or, you know, pass the podcast around, spread the links and all that kind of stuff. That's how you support us. We're not asking you for any money or anything like that. All we're asking you for is your support just by telling people word of mouth who we are, what we're talking about, and the ideas that we're sharing with the world.
There's no ads, so these people showing up aren't getting blasted with ads. They're not getting paid for that either. So.
Yeah.
Now we know why people call you crazy, because you ain't doing this for no money. The rest of the world is doing something for money.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
it's crazy Eddie.
We want to get an ad-free discussion in on Mad Science and the Knights of the Round Table to get results. And if I got ads coming in every 30 seconds and somebody runs out the bathroom and don't get back in time, they might miss the best part. Besides that, I hate money. Literally. I wished I had a lot of money sometimes, but I hate money because it always takes money to make money. It takes money to do things. It's frustrating as all get out. But if we could get together and we could pull our resources long enough to get people situated to where instead of paying $300 a month light bill or more, then they could take that $300 and buy medicine and clothes and food for their families. Wouldn't that be a good cause for America and the world in general?
I think so.
Well, that's what we're working for. There shouldn't be anybody hungry on this planet, folks. Shouldn't be anybody sick, starving, and homeless. Bring the people together with me, and let's make this world a better place. That's what it's all about. Plain and simple. That's the whole purpose for Mad Science. We got everything we need. The anger and the frustration comes from the fact that I can see it, you can see it, and we ain't getting nothing done. Take care, everybody. Peace and love. Do-do-do-do. Now I gotta hit that button. Ready?
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.